Pastor Abel Pongang is going to be speaking to us today, and I don't know if you realize, yes, one of our family members, actually, Linda Scales' dad, is going to be speaking to us and bringing the word of the Lord to us today. He asked back in the little library, he said, pray for me throughout the service that the Lord uses me. And I think in watching this gentleman, just through Linda and Pierre and the family that they have raised and watching them come on the holidays, I think that the Lord has used him his whole life. But we will pray that the Lord uses him again and blesses us with the words that he'll bring to us this morning. Pastor?
All right. Thank you very much, Kelly. I really appreciate the privilege that God has given me this morning. First of all, I'd like to thank Beth for calling me about the information for the church bulletin. And on Wednesday, your dear pastor emailed me and he said, I'm so thankful that you are coming to give the message this Sabbath. He said, unfortunately, I would be at my other church in Mariposa. So I told him that I would be praying for him as he would be praying for me. I really thank God for seeing some of my friends here, like Charlie and Flossie and their daughter Joy. We had a wonderful wedding not long time ago. I would like also to thank Bert for helping me set up the PowerPoint. And I'd like to thank Corbin also. How many of you here know the significance of December 7? May I see your hands? Maybe some of the old ones may raise your hands, but not all. December 7, 1941, that will be 6 days from today, will be marking the 61st anniversary of that sad day in the history of the United States. Because of the time difference in the Philippines at that time, it was December 8, December 7 in Honolulu at the time of the bombing. When that sad day took place, the people in the Philippines were gripped with fear, with anxiety, knowing what war would bring. Shortly after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, the Japanese Imperial Army invaded the Philippines. We suffered severe hardship of hunger, fear, evacuation, atrocities, and sickness. I hope that if there's anyone here of Japanese descent, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about history, about what happened. You know, Japanese people are wonderful, peace-loving people. Some of my friends are Japanese. But during wartime, as I witnessed when I was 7 years old, it was terrible. Well, the Filipinos, and I in particular, are ever grateful for the American forces led by the late General Douglas MacArthur, who promised, I shall return. And he fulfilled that promise in a remarkable way. My wife and I, and with Linda and Pierre, went to Hawaii in 1994 for the wedding of our son, Dale. By the way, Dale plays the trumpet so beautiful. I thank God for his musical ability, his talent. Anyway, we went to Pearl Harbor. I love history, and I wanted to see the place where the bombing took place on December 7, 1941. We took the opportunity to visit that place. Are we going to darken the room so that you could see the picture better? Anyway, we went to the USS Arizona Memorial. It was April 1, 1994, that we stood on that platform. I'm sorry, it went too far. Okay. So we went there on that platform of USS Arizona Memorial, and then went to the inner parlor. And as I stood there looking at the names of those who died with that bombing, and as I was looking at the names, I became emotional. I could not hold my tears of gratitude for what the United States did to liberate us from the Japanese occupation. That's why I appreciate Jim Sutherland's singing Precious Memory. I have precious memories, and I like to thank God for what those events that I have gone through. By the way, are there any veterans here in the audience? Would you please stand to recognize you so we could express our gratitude? Any more? Thank you very much. Praise the Lord, and thank you for what you have done for preserving liberty, that you and I may live in a free country, the land of the free. In John chapter 15, verse 13, we read a few words saying, "Greater love has no one than these." These people who gave their lives. Years ago, a couple in Canada had a baby boy. The baby was healthy. The baby was contented, except for one thing. He had a deformity. He was born without external ears. Without them, determining or sounds would be extremely difficult. Could you imagine them determining or adjusting with those parents when they would take their little boy and other children would look at him without ears? That must have been a terrible stigma. How difficult it was for those parents to deal with a situation when questioning eyes stare at their little boy. The couple made plans to have ears grafted on their son as soon as he was almost grown. The stigma of deformity was gone when donated ears were found and the perfection of the operation was completed. Parents, relatives, friends, and the young men were thrilled and thanked the donor and the doctor who skillfully grafted the ears. A few years later, the mother of this family died of a terrible illness. The grief-stricken family gathered around the coffin. And as the father pulled his wife's hair back, it showed that she herself had no more ears because she donated her own ears to her son. Could you imagine the young man's profound gratitude toward this mother? No doubt he loved her before, but now her memory would have added sheer significance. Do you realize how important it is for us to refresh our memory of the greatest sacrifice? Could you remember how Jesus suffered for you and for me? See, we are in a time when much of Christ's work in redemption, sad to say, it is taken for granted, and the suffering that he went through is taken too lightly. Why? Just like many of the new generation Filipinos, they don't appreciate what the United States did for them as I do, because I went through wartime in the Philippines. And so today, when we forget how Jesus really suffered for each one of us, we become less thankful, less appreciative for what he did for us. There is a great human tendency to forget the significance of our redemption and often fail to appreciate what was done for our behalf. God knows this frailty of the human mind that he admonishes us. If you please turn your Bible with me in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. The New International Version says, impress upon your children. But here the New King James Version, it says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That is the way we have to remind our children of how they can appreciate what Jesus had done for them. Many of the young generation of Filipinos, as I said, do not appreciate as I do because of what I experience. We believe that it's time well spent for us to once again look face to face at the suffering Jesus actually went through to bring you and me the deliverance we enjoy today. Think of how our Savior prayed for you that night in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Desire of Ages give a very good description of that chapter in the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Think of how Jesus suffered so much for you and for me. Some time ago, I read an article written by a Christian medical doctor. I'm so glad that there are some doctors here. But this medical doctor said that his heart was teared. In this article, He said, I realized that I had taken the crucifixion for granted all these years. I had grown callous to its horrors by an easy familiarity of its grim details. And it occurred to me that as a physician, I had not even been interested enough, even though I claimed salvation by the cross of Jesus Christ, in the suffering of Christ, to study my own satisfaction and find what actually caused Christ's death. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, don't go into detail. And there was a reason for it in their description of the suffering of Jesus. In those days, you know, scourging and crucifixion were very common. It was nothing to walk down the road toward a city and see someone being crucified. So these four Gospels, to a certain degree, give a glimpse of what actually happened. Now, as we refresh our memory of Christ's physical suffering, let us bear in mind the enormity, the gravity and awfulness of sin. That's why Jesus died for you and for me. What a price had to be paid. How much God loves us with an everlasting love. And how much Christ so loves us that he would stand suffering beyond that which any human body ever stood up to, ever will stand up to. A year ago, or more than a year ago, I had an excruciating pain because I had sciatica. The pain would emanate from my waist down to my legs, to my left back of my leg. And it was so painful. And I said, Lord, would I ever be like this all the time? It was terrible pain. But then my thought led me to think of Christ's suffering on the cross. And as I think of his suffering more than any human suffering could bear, oh, I said, Lord, after all, my excruciating pain is nothing in comparison what you have gone through because of me. And from that on, I did not mind as much the suffering and the pain that I had, because I was thinking of Jesus' more intense suffering. In Mark 15, 17 to 20, as it was read, it gives us there of a description that Jesus was in agony, so much so that he was overwhelmed almost to the point of death. Great drops of blood, as he was praying there, great drops of blood fell from him in prayer, or sweat, at any rate, like great drops of blood, and which might well mean clots of blood mingled with his sweat as they poured forth from his face. It was in Gethsemane where his torture really began. There was where he began to pay the price of our salvation, for our redemption. There was where the physical suffering first began to be laid upon him as he bore the sins of the whole world. What was causing the agony and fatigue? In Mark 14, 35 to 36, We are told he went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father. Abba means like dad, papa, father. All things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. In other words, he was saying, if it were possible, deliver me from going to the cross. That cup that he was saying was the cross that he was having in mind. I would like to share with you a graphic description of what happened on the cross of Calvary. Let's see how Jesus bore that heavy cross. And as he was being paraded, there was Simon of Cyrene who came, and with pity, he helped Jesus carry that cross. I'm sure if you were there, you too would probably have offered to help Jesus carry his cross. There he was, helping Jesus carry the cross. Then came that crucifixion. Let me just share, as I said, what a friend of mine shared with me. In fact, he said, take only a minute to think of what Jesus had gone through. Jesus was condemned to death at the age of 33. At the time, crucifixion was the worst death. Only the worst criminals condemned to be crucified. Yet it was even more difficult that Jesus, for unlike other criminals condemned to death by crucifixion, Jesus was nailed to the cross by his hands and feet rather than tied. Each nail was 6 to 8 inches long. The nails were driven into his wrist, as you see there. Not into his palms, as it is commonly portrayed. There's a tendon on the wrist that extends to the shoulder. The Roman guards knew that when the nails were being hammered into his wrist, the tendon would tear and break, forcing Jesus to use his back muscles to support himself so that he could breathe. Both of his feet were nailed together. Thus he was forced to support himself on the single nail that impaled his feet to the cross. Jesus could not support himself with his legs for long because of the pain. So he was forced to alternate between arching his back and using his legs just to continue to breathe. Imagine the struggle, the pain, the suffering. From common images, we see wounds to his hands and feet, even the spear wound to his side. But do we remember the many wounds made to his body? A hammer driving large nails through the wrist, like that, through the arches. Then a Roman guard piercing his side with a spear. And before the nails and the spear, Jesus was whipped and beaten severely. The whipping was so severe that it tore the flesh from his body. That's why when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the emblem of his broken body, that cup of juice that represents his spilled blood, his broken body, because his flesh was torn. And before the nails and the spear, Jesus was whipped. The beating so horrific that his face was torn and his beard ripped from his face. The crown of thorns cut deeply into his calf. Most men would not have survived this torture. He had no more blood to bleed out, only water. Only water from his wounds. The human adult body contains about 5 liters of blood, just over a gallon. Jesus poured out all 5 liters of his blood. He had 3 nails hammered into his body. A crown of thorns that we see previously there. That crown with those thorns piercing into his calf. All this without mentioning the humiliation he passed after carrying his own cross for almost 2 kilometers while the crowd spat in his face and threw stones. The crossbeam was almost 30 kilograms or of weight. That will be what? More than 60 or about 70 pounds, to which his hands were nailed. Jesus said to endure this experience so that you and I may have free access to God, so that your sins can be washed away, all of them with no exception. Jesus took our place. We would have been beaten. We should have been spat on. We should have been slapped. We should have been whipped. We should have died without God. We should have gone to hell. That was the cup that was coming to you and me. But Jesus drank it instead of us. Oh, what a price Christ paid for our redemption. So imagine those sins hanging there. You know what we are admonished about refreshing our memory? Desire of Ages, page 83. I hope that you would make it a point daily. I'm a member of the Prayer Warriors of the Central California Conference. Every Wednesday morning from 10 in the morning until 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we pray together there. We pray for the Merced Seventh Adventist Church. We pray for your pastor. We pray for all our schools. But we have priorities that we also pray for. One of them, pray for our brothers and sisters to develop spending quiet, quality time with the Lord. And look at this admonition. It would be well for us. It would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day in contemplation of the life of Christ. We should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene that I just have shown you, especially the closing ones. What are those closing ones? Those are the closing ones. Think of those according to this suggestion. We should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp its scene, especially the closing ones. You know what will happen if you do that? If you develop that habit on a daily basis, it says here, as we thus dwell upon His great sacrifice for us, our confidence in Him will be more constant. Our love will be quickened, and we shall be more deeply imbued by His Spirit. In closing, I want to appeal to you this morning to daily meditate upon the infinite love of God and spend quiet quality time alone with Jesus. If in one way or the other you have wandered away from God, He is waiting for you to come to Him so that you can have peace in your heart. Dear brother, dear sister, dear friends, if you are continually falling over and over again in the same sin and consequently living with a guilty conscience, why not come to Christ today? Confess your sin. Admit the wrong. Realize that sin causes your separation from God, the giver of life and health. I appeal to you to come to Calvary and lay all your burdens there. Please believe that Christ bore your sins. I'm sorry, that went too fast. Is that already there? Please believe that Christ bore your sins on the cross. He took away your guilt. And now you can be free. Just believe it and accept it. Would you join me in expressing our renewed faith in prayer of deep gratitude and say, thank you, dear Jesus, for dying for me. Help me to love you with all my heart and day by day refresh my memory of what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane and in the cross of Calvary. God bless each one of us to have this sweet memory of what greatest sacrifice, of the greatest love that Jesus had shown to each one of us. Now as we sing, lest we forget, is that the one, that's what I have. Oh, it is. All right. It's Lead Me to Calvary. Are we going to stand? Oh, is it not? I think it is there. It is. Is it not projected? Oh, no. Oh, it is not. Okay.
Sing with all your hearts. Page 317.
King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be.
Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, then daily mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed, guarded the rose of lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary.
Let's hear the men on this one.
The own true and gun we give to thee.
Come on, let us hear it.
Show me in the home. Lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
Let's hear the ladies.
May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross.
Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
Amen.
Dear Lord, our Savior, our Creator, our Redeemer. Thank you for refreshing our memory for what our Savior experienced in the Garden of Gethsemane on the cross of Calvary. Help us, Lord, to develop that deeper appreciation, profound gratitude for what you have done for us. Deepen our love for you and help us to be ready for the glorious coming of our Savior and Lord. May each one of us here in this house of worship today be among those who will be entering your beautiful eternal kingdom you are preparing for each one of us. We ask in the precious, in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.